You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:07 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson. Remember, if you miss anything, you want to stream it, KVOI.com, or do it on the old TuneIn app. Tell them you want to listen to 1030 KVOI and tell that little box on your desk and something might magically happen. So let's go right to the phones. The last time I saw this gentleman, I think we're in the dusty confines of the Tanaha Training Center in Green Valley with Mr. Pence, and that's Governor Doug Ducey. Doug, a couple of things happened since the last time I saw you. How are you?
Real good. Real good. How are you, Chris?
We're doing okay, sir. We're doing okay. Let's talk real quick. Lots of stuff to catch up on. You have had a lot of hard decisions to make since the beginning of March. I was wondering about the kind of the evolution of the decision-making process from March through now. What have you learned in dealing with this whole situation?
Well, we know so much more today than we did a year ago today. And I think the fact that we trusted people, that we've let our public health experts make certain they've got the resources so they can take care of Arizonans if they do contract this disease, but that we also, in addition to protecting lives, we protected livelihoods, let our economy breathe. I mean, it's amazing to me that we're navigating through this pandemic. Arizona remains a top five economy in the nation, top five in terms of personal income growth. We're at 97% of our maximum employment rate, and now we're getting the vaccination out in mass centers. I want to thank Bobby Robbins and the University of Arizona for what they're doing in Tucson, Michael Bidwell and State Farm Stadium and the Arizona Cardinals up in Maricopa County. We're one of the top five states in the country for getting the vaccine out, and there's blue sky ahead, but we shouldn't let our guard down just yet.
It came to a point where after the first kind of major lockdown that you opened up partially again in May, and even as the number...
Hey, Chris, we never had a lockdown here, okay? We had a stay home, stay healthy, stay connected advisory. So don't confuse our state with other states.
Well, you know, it was the idea that we had businesses that were considered non-essential that were forced to close their doors. So
well,
however you want to describe that.
We followed the White House guidance for the 30 days to slow the spread, and that did continue for 15 more days. But from that time forward, after we got through what you would call the fog of the original pandemic, I would say in terms of being open and operating while protecting public health is something that Arizona's done a very good job with.
So I was going to ask you, when did it hit you that you knew you were never going to get to a point of doing a lockdown like these other states? Because
well, it's a good question.
Because there's a lot of pressure on you.
There was a lot of pressure, but I tried to not listen to the press or to the pundits. I really tried to listen to the experts. And, you know, as governor, your job is to make decisions. So you don't have the experts on top. You have them on tap so you can listen to them. But you also have to balance things. I mean, COVID-19 and the pandemic has been the number one priority for the last year, but it wasn't the only issue in public health. And I addressed some of that during the State of the State, talking about social isolation, depression, addiction, abuse, suicide. So these are all things, it's why we had a light touch, is to protect our health care system so that it could care for individuals that were sick, but also to make certain that we avoided or minimized to the best of our ability all these other maladies that come with something like COVID-19.
When the decision to stop elective surgeries came down and then you opened it back up later, was that something that maybe even the health profession regrets, stopping elective surgeries during that time?
It'd be a good question for them. I would say we erred on the side of caution in February, March, and April. And then as we knew more, as we had the facts and saw how we could operate while protecting people, and part of the measurement is, you know, you can't stop a virus. It's contagious.
Correct.
It continues to spread. Now it's a modern medical miracle that we have this vaccine available. But what we always wanted to focus on was public education. I don't think there's anybody in the state that doesn't know about the virus, doesn't know about wearing a mask and having 6 feet of distance, all those things that are the real fundamentals. But then you have to make certain that you can care for people. And it was at the request of the healthcare CEOs, the doctors and the nurses, that we postponed elective surgeries, because it immediately opens up hospital capacity. And I don't know if you go to the azhealth.gov website, I've probably been more on it more in the last year than any other individual. But our hospitals are really good at what they do. They're very efficient as well. When there is no pandemic, they operate at about 85% capacity. During the pandemic, they operated at about 85% capacity, but with a lot of COVID patients in hospital beds and ICUs. And now with hospital capacity opening up, we have more patients inside the hospital that do not have COVID, but they're still at about 85% capacity. What we never wanted was for them to hit the overflow where we had to go to some of the surge sites like St. Luke's and the Convention Center, and that never happened. And that's a tribute, I would say, to the good common sense of the people of Arizona, and as well as the advice and counsel that I was receiving to make targeted decisions.
You know, and then the trade-off of that is those that deferred health care, right? The amount of other negative health results that happen for people having heart attacks because they didn't go to the hospital or different things like that. That's the balance I'm looking for, and that's why it's such a tough – these are tough decisions to make, not easy.
And that's why you have to listen to the folks that are running the hospitals on this, and also make sure you have your definition of elective surgery accurate, because we shouldn't be missing people that are going to have heart surgery. That's not elective. Okay, so those weren't the people that were delayed. And
I'm not talking about heart surgery. I'm talking about people who have heart conditions or things like that who weren't getting treatment for that, who then led to a bad result, like having a heart attack or things like that, Doug. So.
Well, yeah, I want to make sure that we're differentiating what happens in a doctor's appointment and what happens in a hospital.
The average person that's listening to us or listens to the news doesn't know really the definition of an elective surgery. And so they just think if I have a problem, I shouldn't go unless I'm actually like dying. And I think that was part of the problem.
Our doctor's offices remained open, and so did our emergency rooms.
Let's talk about schools, because it's something that you and I definitely agree in, that we got to get the kids back in school. You made a decision late summer, I think, that you were going to leave it to the school districts and some of the local municipalities to make certain decisions on how they wanted to do their run their municipalities, whether it's mask mandates or schools. Is there an opportunity maybe for you to use your emergency executive power to say, you know, we need to get the, I know you're saying it strongly you want the kids back in school, but can you, and are you willing to order the kids back in school in person?
Well, we do want kids back in school. We are opening schools back up. We do have about 30% of our parents right now that do not want their kids back in school. So we're going to offer, of course, online learning. We prioritize teachers for vaccinations. If you look at the way we've structured the state budget, we've got the incentives for these schools to open. We do believe in local control, but I want to see the schools open, and that's what we're prioritizing.
So, you know, we're going to have another pretty much a lost year for a lot of our school kids. Last year was kind of they lost the last part of their last year before that. And I guess my thing is, Governor, is that as we move through a year and these kids don't go to school during the summer, what are we really dealing with when we get to next August again for a next school year?
Well, we have to catch these kids up. They have fallen behind. Distance learning has not been good for education. It's been especially difficult on our low-income kids. This is where the achievement gap existed before the pandemic, and many of these families don't have Wi-Fi or access to a computer or multiple screens if they have multiple children. So we're investing in summer school, acceleration academies, one-on-one instruction, tutoring, really across the board what it takes to catch kids up. We know what grade level is for math, reading, and science. Parents are going to have the facts on where their kids are, and teachers are going to have the task of getting kids caught up.
One of the things that really bothers me, and I'm on the charter school board for Lehman Academy down here, and we sent the kids back to school in August. And yes, there were, some flare-ups of kids who came in but we didn't have anyone going to the hospital or teachers getting hurt from all of this. Why was it in Arizona from all these school districts and in the media, and that's a whole other story, we could have a whole show about the media, is why was that all that knowledge kind of ignored by some of these school people out there that we have kids going back to private school and we didn't see that problem?
Chris, it's frustrating. Our charters, by and large, are all open. Our private schools, our Catholic schools are all open. Many of our public districts are all open. And you don't have to take this from me. Take it from the Centers for Disease Control, whether you want to listen to the Trump administration or the Biden administration. Across the board, the safest place for kids to be, according to the doctors and the subject matter experts, is inside a school. So let's get schools open. And that question of why they're not opening is more of a question that parents should be asking local districts, and they should be demanding that the school opens, or they should be voting with their feet and applying at your charter school.
So I know there's a lot of people happy that there's a 24/7 vax site in Tucson now. And it's always interesting that the local county and some of the city council people here were worried that somehow if you guys open up a 24/7 vax site at the U of A, somehow you were stealing their vaccinations for underappreciated populations. What did you get from all of that when you saw some of that rhetoric coming out of Tucson and Pima County?
Well, we stay away from the turf wars. What we want to do is get vaccines in people's arms. That's all we're concerned with. We want to be a partner and a force multiplier on this. We have the ability to open up the larger sites, and we don't want vaccines sitting inside a freezer. I don't think most folks want to even spend the time to understand whether it's city government, county government, or state government that's getting it done. They want to just see good government, and that's what's happening in Arizona. I mean, this is a race. There's a competition. It's collegial among states, but governors get on a conference call and really share best practices. And I didn't think something like a 24/7 mass vaccination site at Cardinal Stadium was that innovative, but we were the first in the nation to do it. Now other states are following suit. We're replicating it in Tucson. We're replicating it in Chandler-Gilbert. We're replicating it in Phoenix Muni. We can do another in Pima County if necessary. But this is a best practice, and it shouldn't be a turf battle. It just should be focused on the objective of getting the vaccine to the coalition of the willing. We want everyone that wants a vaccine to be able to get a vaccine. If you want to protect your family, if you want to bring good jobs back, and you want to get every kid inside a classroom, go get a vaccine.
Just talking to Schweikert last hour, he gave your office some credit for we're now opening up vax sites and CVSs. And I think the more you do that in those CVSs or Walmarts, the better it is for everybody.
I agree, and I'm glad that Congressman Schweikert pointed that out. That's going to be especially important in many of our minority communities. It's going to be important in our rural communities. And we just want to have this as available as possible. I mean, it's safe, it's effective, and it's free. I can't offer you a better deal than that, Chris.
So how does Doug Ducey stay sane during all this? What's the sanity moments for Doug? You know, because you got tough decisions. You do your press conferences when everyone's like, "Oh God, what's Doug going to say?" You have Howie Fisher yelling at you. What at press conferences? What does Doug do to stay sane during all this?
Well, I think part of it is just focus on the task at hand. I mean, as much as I wish this would have never happened, the fact that I was getting up every day, going to work, challenged with the decisions in front of me was a way to compartmentalize this. I really felt for the people that were stuck at home, that had to do remote learning. Of course, I talked about my grandmother. I stopped talking about her because I didn't like the things that were being said on social media. But you know, she was
talk about your grandmother, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know. But she was isolated. I mean, I couldn't go see her. My mom couldn't go see her. Thankfully, that's all fixed now. She's vaccinated, and my mom is vaccinated. So I was more focused on how do I fix these issues? How do I make the right decisions here? And the only time a solution presented itself was when the vaccine was available. Up until that time, it was all about making the best possible, most responsible decision that I knew that 50% of the people at least were not going to like.
Yeah, you can't catch any break on social media. As I point out on the show, Doug, you guys could put Happy Navajo Code Talkers Day, and half of them are like, "You suck, Ducey," and you're like, "Oh my God, we're just trying to celebrate Code Talkers Day."
Well, I tell my family and my staff, you just can't read the comments. You can't read the comments. And it is a shame because it's a wonderful way to communicate and get a message out. And you kind of wonder, are these bots or are these real people that spend all day that do this? But it's not important. It's really what I think. If you look at the feed, we're going to give you the data, the facts, the information that we have as we have it, whether it's in front of the press or on social media.
All right, Doug, I appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon, and good luck, and God bless, and keep doing what you think is the right thing.
Thanks, Chris. God bless. Be safe. I look forward to seeing you down in Tucson next time I'm there.
Sounds good, sir. Have a good day.
Okay. Have a good one.
That's Governor Doug Ducey. Let's go to break. It's an R kind of Thursday. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. There we go. Little bite tour. All right, 8:27 in the morning. Understandably, it went long with Governor Ducey. I'm glad he came on to have that conversation. He did not like the word lockdown. I disagree with him. I said when you tell certain businesses that unessential, right? And the other thing too is, you know, the that decision on bars. We didn't get into the decision on bars and gyms. That's another one we could have a discussion on it one day. Just from the mailbag, real quick on that, I played that video, the audio of the city council meeting of them crapping on the process to replace Durham, and Kozachik and Cunningham actually said the words, "not transparent, need community input, and the fix is in." This isn't DeSimone saying it, it's Cunningham and Kozachik. The fix is in. Fran LaSala. He used to work in the city manager's office for years at the city of Tucson. He was a former Oro Valley councilman before that or during that. But dear Lord, Requena and Santa Cruz are setting a precedent for removing or disbanding all citizens' committees. Remember, she wanted to get rid of the one that was doing the civil service committee on cops. And we wanted to do that. So the council's charged with making decisions and casting votes. Nowhere in the charter does it say you must get citizen participation on some issues and not others. Just a few days ago, the Queen Mayor wanted public input on 5G towers, and today, no input on filling an open council seat. Can you say hypocrisy? I don't know. Bill Beard, if I heard things correctly, the urgent need to get Ulick back on the council was more important than getting Cunningham back on the council. It's true. And yes, Steve Kozachik does look like a homeless guy in the video. All right, when we come back, we got Brian's here. He is with your CBD store. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. I think I know this one. It's my boy Trevor Raven with his son Ryan. It's called Me and My Boy. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. A little Red Hot Chili Peppers on an R kind of Thursday. We had, if you missed my interview with Governor Doug Ducey, you can catch it on KVOI.com. It will be posted probably by lunchtime today. If you want to, you know, sit around with your family tonight, instead of talking, you can listen to me talk to Doug Ducey tonight during your dinner. If you want to, you know, hurt yourself and listen to DeSimone that much. Welcome back to the show. And we have our friends, Brian and Simone. They are with Your CBD Store. And guys, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
I want you
good
to move
morning.
That microphone right on the middle. I want you to talk right on the, right there. Perfect. Okay. Excellent. You got two mics. You look like Cher over there with those
oh,
two mics.
Perfect.
Brian, welcome, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us back. It's good, great to see you and great to be on with you again.
Since the last time I saw you, you've added a couple of extra stores since the last time I saw you. Last time you saw you, I think you had two stores and you were about to add Marana. How many stores now in the Tucson, Pima County area?
We've got a total of seven, and actually, as of next week, it'll be eight with the addition of Sierra Vista.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, what's really amazing is the demand is that great, but at the same time, you must be doing something right that in a place that has this market is, you know, you have competition and things like that. Why the expansion? What are you guys doing so well that maybe the others are not?
Well, before we dive into that, I want to take a minute and thank you and KVOI for having, I guess, the courage to accept us on a couple of years ago. It was at a different time in the industry when not everybody was as anxious to you know, welcome in anybody in the cannabis-based industry.
Right.
You know, that was a time before big radio and TV and newspaper were real excited to have us on. So, again, you guys were an instrumental role in helping us get our stores launched and get the brand out there. So we appreciate you and your listeners.
Now that recreational marijuana has been approved, you know, you guys are like real. You're like super mainstream now, Bri.
Yeah, we're pretty tame and dull now compared to what we got going in Arizona, aren't we? But no, I think to address your question about, you know, what has allowed us to grow and so forth is, one, we were fortunate to get into the Tucson market at a pretty early, you know, stage. We were kind of, I guess, first movers, you could say. And when we saw the kind of results people were having with the product and the response people had just to the way our stores were set up and to the service that we delivered, we could see that there was a tremendous opportunity to really move quickly and open multiple locations in the area. And you know, just through you know, continual product expansion and quality and the excellent service that our staff has been trained to give, and the loyalty from a lot of your listeners and a lot of other great customers throughout the area has just allowed us to keep adding locations. We're kind of becoming like the Starbucks of CBD, I guess.
Look at that. That's a bold statement there, Brian. The Starbucks of CBD. I like that.
Yeah, that was the company's goal about 2 years ago. And frankly, I heard that, and I think we were the 29th store that opened with the company at that time, and they were talking about becoming the CBD of the Starbucks of CBD, and I thought, okay, all right, sure, well, let's see how about that. And sure enough, at 600 locations strong now.
Sure.
You know, people you know, travel throughout the area and see our stores here and there and everywhere and see the logo and know that they can trust our brand.
So I was looking at your guys' ratings online, Google ratings and stuff. You guys do very well on those. So Simone, what's going on when people are walking into the store that they're having this superior customer service? What are you guys doing to earn that?
Well, basically, we try to educate the person and try to see what is the best fit of the product for them. And after the one-to-one consultation, I think that they want to share in the Google reviews how it's working after some days with them. So I think that everything is about exceed the expectations of our customers when they're going to our store and try to give the best information about all our products and what is the best fit for them.
This repeat customer kind of dynamic that you've built in, because that's what I hear from the wakies that go to your places, is they just, that's it. They have they have that regular kind of time of the month or every several weeks where they're coming in and getting product from you guys. So you got to be doing something right that they keep coming back on every 4 to 6 week period and picking up what they need to make their lives a little better through CBD.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, right now I think there's about 3,000 brands on the market that can be purchased, you know, by a variety of different ways.
Wow.
And a lot of people, you know, over the last couple of years, CBD was kind of this new, you know, hot, trendy thing. And people tried our brand and maybe have tried a bunch of others and one thing or another. And fortunately, we see a lot of people come back. And so they've become, you know, trust our quality.
So maybe there's still some people out there in the world who don't know what CBD is. They're just total rookies listening to this show for the first time. They've seen the stores, they've seen it out there, the CBD. So let's go CBD 101, Brian. First of all, what does CBD stand for?
Okay, the crash course, yep. 30 seconds or less.
They need it.
On CBD. That's great. You know, what's funny is, you know, we're in the stores every day. We see a lot of people come through. And right when you think that, okay, everybody knows what this is and we're like at market saturation, not even close. There's so many new customers. A lot of our business right now lately has been as new customers just coming out for the first time or first time coming into a local store. But CBD is short for cannabidiol. That's one of the components in the hemp plant. And there's hundreds of different chemical compounds. The two big ones that people know are THC,
right,
and CBD. And CBD is the component that actually gets you well and gets you healthy, but not high. So, and over the last couple of years, they've discovered a few other really super kind of cousins to CBD. One is called CBG. It's showing a lot of promise in neurological issues and so forth, and help protecting neural pathways in the brain and whatnot. And it's also kind of a boost in energy, focus, and alertness. And then the kind of cousin to that one is one called CBN. And CBN, they found, is working tremendous on sleep.
Really?
So anybody out there having some issues getting some sleep, you know, a general CBD a lot of times can work, but the CBN can really pinpoint it and really focus in on the sleep issues.
When someone figured out there's a CBD compound, right, going on in the hemp plant, what was the first kind of early uses of CBD, do you know, of what they were using it for to alleviate? Like, you know, what was that moment that they said, oh, this has that kind of, you know, that alleviating factor to a lot of things?
Well, just a side note, going way back, my grandfather actually farmed hemp back in the 1930s in Wisconsin, where I grew up.
Wow.
And yeah, that was back in the day where people used it for things other than consuming.
Right.
Used it for rope and clothing and feather livestock and whatnot.
Okay.
And of course, you know, hemp and marijuana got banned, you know, back in the late 30s, early 40s, and it just was kind of taken out of our life for 80 years, and now it's back.
Right.
It's made a huge resurgence. But the breakthrough in CBD was actually a couple of years ago. They found that with children with severe epilepsy, it's called Dravet syndrome, that these poor kids that were having, you know, hundreds and thousands of you know, violent seizures, CBD was able to get those things under control. And actually the first and only FDA-approved drug that has CBD in it was called Epidiolex. It's actually designed for those kids, and
that's
been
awesome.
Fantastic around the world. So it really, you know, blew the lid off of CBD, and they discovered there was just a whole list of things that it could work on in terms of, you know, relieving ailments.
It's funny you say this about the seizures. So I got these friends of mine. They're ex-New York City cops. I see them at the gym, and I've known them for years. And they went to Colorado Springs for a vacation because I've spent a lot of time in that area. And they said, oh, we want to go try it out. So I said, we're finding new restaurants. And he goes, there's this place called Pizza 420, right? And as a guy, and they're Italians from New York. And they said, look, it's not the greatest name for Goombas from New York for pizza, but the guy's from New York and the guy's amazing, right? So I'm in Colorado. I was doing a wedding and over Labor Day. I'm one of those internet ministers, right? Doing a wedding for a friend. And we went down to Colorado Springs for an overnight. And I go to Pizza 420. So I'm talking to the owner, and the pizza is amazing. His is real deal, amazing New York pizza. It's better than anything in the state of Arizona I've ever had. Okay,
wow.
And he goes, I said, all right, tell me about the name. And he goes, they went from New York, they lived in Florida. His daughter has this epilepsy problem with the seizures. So he moved to Colorado because it was more accepted
accessible
to use CBD and these kind of things because she was having 700 to 800 mini seizures a day, right? So now that she's on the CBD, she has one or two. So he wanted to name the pizza joint in honor of the CBD, even though he knows. And so it's called Pizza 420, and the guy makes the most badass Neapolitan and Sicilian pizza. possibly in the Western United States.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. We'll definitely check it out when we go through that area.
I'm just telling you, the next time you're there, for what you guys do for a living and amazing pizza, Pizza 420.
Nice.
So let's do this. When we come back from the break, you have some updated products, because we'll talk about your expansion of the product line since the last time I saw you, which seems to be even bigger than ever.
Absolutely. Be happy to.
All right. Go to yourcbdstoretucson.com to find out about all their different locations throughout Pima County. They're up in Catalina, Oral Valley, Marana, throughout Tucson, and now opening a new store in Sierra Vista. So if you have a question, 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson. This is only for Callahan, my Rush guy. Very nice.
This is actually a request.
Really?
Al requested Rash.
Oh, my God. The real history of Rush. Very cute. All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We're doing the alphabet. And, of course, we end with Rush, so there's nothing wrong with that. Remember, if you miss anything, KVOI.com. We're hanging out with Brian and Simone from Your CBD Store, yourcbdstoretucson.com, to find out everything you need to know about what they do with locations, hours of operations, and, again, new location in Sierra Vista. When's that opening up, Brian?
Monday.
Okay, look at you.
Yeah.
So how many locations now?
That'll be a total of 8 throughout Southern Arizona. Simonette and I actually own 7. The Catalina location is owned by a super nice couple, the Lions. Matter of fact, he'll be on with us next Thursday.
Oh, very cool.
Talking a little bit about their Catalina store.
And you have our good friend Lara Bucci is coming in with you next time.
Absolutely. Laura from Hope Animal Shelter up in Marana has become one of our new best buddies, I guess you could say. We're going to have her talk a little bit about how it's affecting CBD works with pets.
Yep.
And the amazing benefits they've seen with the animals in the shelter.
So back to CBD 101 a little bit for the newbies out there. When we first started talking, we knew that some of the big things that I know that a lot of the Wakeys were using it for were usually joint pain was a big thing, arthritis, right? And then you guys are, one of the things that makes total sense to me is during lockdown pandemics, then the anxiety level is racing to superhuman levels. People are reaching out to this product to kind of mellow them out a little bit.
Yeah, more and more people are going to our stores that they are asked about something that can help with the anxiety and different things that they're seeing since the pandemic just hit. Yeah, we can be able to suggest a couple of products that they can help, and actually they notice the big difference.
So I know in the past when we've talked about internal use, there's drops, right, that people use for that. What are some of the other products that they might be using for alleviating stress?
Our best sellers, Chris, and actually over, you know, there's almost 600 stores nationwide now that we're a part of in Your CBD Store. Our number one seller is our topical relief cream. It's a topical.
Right.
So that's kind of a lot of times the first product people use as their, you know, comfort level is building. And it's something that, you know, you just basically apply it where it hurts. It works locally on, you know, whether it be knees or neuropathic pain under the feet, on migraine headaches, you know, bursitis, arthritis, you name it.
So when you're going to use a topical for a migraine headache, how does that work?
You just, you apply it into the, in your temples.
Really?
In the back of your neck. And
okay.
Also up under your, just in some of the pressure points.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
because CBD reduces the inflammation so well, that in combination with one of our ingestible drinks, it's called a water soluble, that's designed to absorb very quickly in the body. We've seen tons of people coming in with excruciating migraines, and in 10 or 15 minutes, they're like smiling and can't believe how quickly it worked.
Wow.
So yeah, what's unique to Your CBD Store, again, is the water solubles are designed to absorb very quickly. Works tremendous on panic and anxiety, as well as sleep aid and also for headaches and whatnot. Topical creams are pretty easy. We've got probably one of the best varieties of oils around. We've got broad spectrum, which contains absolutely zero THC for anybody concerned about, oh, you know, I drug test or whatever. That's the right product for them. For those who aren't as concerned about having just a tiny trace
right.
amount, we've got full spectrum, which is kind of, you know, gives what they call the entourage effect, which is really the icing on the cake of what CBD does. We've actually got a new product. It's called Whole Plant, which, you know, I guess I liken it to having, you know, fresh squeezed hemp. It's about as pure of hemp and CBD that you can get. And just to give people an idea, especially those that are still a little bit unsure, skeptical, when you come in any one of our 8 locations, you know, what our signature is really all about is come in and get a couple of free samples, you know, try it before you buy it, see if CBD is a good fit for you or not. You're going to get excellent consultation from one of our trained professionals on possibly what to buy, how often to use it. You know, 'cause the thing is, you go to a grocery store or a convenience store, you know, you've got the guy that says, yeah, dude, it's over on aisle 4, but they a lot of times don't know what it is or you know, what to suggest on it.
And I mean, it's a different experience getting it from you guys who are kind of educated on it than the bro selling cigarettes at Circle K and said, oh, there's a CBC thing over there.
Well, like one of our other radio buddies talks about is, he's like, hey, you know, if you're going to go get good sushi, you're not going to go to a gas station for sushi, are you? You're going to go to a good sushi place.
Right, sure.
And that holds true with CBD also. You know, we're still in an unregulated era right now where 70% of CBD products recently tested were mislabeled. Yeah. They either didn't have CBD in them, or unfortunately, maybe they had more THC than what people bargained for. So I think it's really important that you deal with a legitimate establishment that has, you know, third-party lab tests like we have on all of our products. Matter of fact, we were the first in America to come out with a line of USDA-certified organic oils. And there's a few others that have followed now. But, I mean, where they test everything from the label and the bottle and the dropper, and it's got to meet the USDA's most stringent you know, testing requirements.
Well, it seems as more and more people, millions of people, are continuing and expanding the use of this product. It's not like we're seeing news stories that somehow, you know, people who are using actual bona fide good CBD products are having a negative effect. I haven't seen any stories out there, is what I'm saying. You know, there's been, like, as each day goes by, it seems that the proof keeps coming in that it's not a negative thing. There are very little, or if any, negative effects to people. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes it's just for a misleading product that probably doesn't have the quality standards. So if somebody is taking a product that doesn't have the content of CBD, but is labeled as a CBD,
right,
and also, or very, very low content of CBD, they're not going to have probably what did they expect, the relief that they expect.
Sure. Ryan, what were you saying? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to add to that in the last couple of years, we've seen the medical industry go from a little skeptical, you know, maybe, you know, a little bit negative,
right,
to neutral. Now we've got a ton of health professionals that recommend. You know, we ask people quite often, how did you hear about us when they come in? And more and more, a lot of the doctors are starting to suggest people, you know, try CBD before they go to some more of the harsh medications and whatnot. So it's
one of the listeners want to know if there's aromatherapy products with CBD.
We have an excellent line of bath and skin products.
Right.
That maybe not quite aromatherapy.
Right.
But we've got excellent bath bombs that.
Okay. I think she has a diffuser. She wanted to know if, like,
okay,
there's like a thing where you can do CBD oil in a diffuser. That's what the question was. So
maybe she can use a couple drops, but because you have some receptors also that they're coming at the time that you're smelling. So
right,
in the blend that she have, her preference, like for me, is lemongrass and lavender.
Okay.
Maybe it can be a couple drops of CBD.
All right, I'll send her to see you guys.
We have a bath soak. And also the bath bombs, and we've got 5 different varieties, and they're all infused with essential oils.
Okay.
So it's the next best thing, I guess, to aromatherapy.
What is a product? We only got a couple more minutes left. What's a product that last time I saw you didn't have, and now all of a sudden it's there, it's becoming prominent and more used? What's something that's new since the last time I saw you?
A couple of things that are really become prominent in the sale in our stores is this new CBN product.
Okay.
That, again, so many people struggle with sleep, you know, getting to sleep, staying to sleep. So, again, it's one of the important components in the plant that they've discovered is like, wow, it's, you know, it's on the caliber of, you know, a lot of your heavier sleep aids, but without the side effects, without the groggy, you know, without the fog in the morning that you wake up with. It's totally natural, homeopathic.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I also wanted to mention is, you know, seeing that we are kind of still in lockdown mode and whatnot, our stores offer free delivery, and also will ship anywhere in the country and absorb the shipping costs. And probably the biggest news I almost forgot about is, especially for some of our loyal customers out there, is because of our growth and our buying power, is we're actually come out with new lower prices. We had a price drop back in the summer last year, and then we've got another one that's taking effect actually on the 1st of March. But of course, we would give that to anybody who wanted to come in even as soon as today.
Okay.
So, you know, the product is getting better and the prices are coming down. So it's kind of a perfect situation.
Awesome. All right. Well, it was good seeing both you guys again today. We'll be back. You guys will be back next week with Lada and your friends from Catalina. So that'll be like a Dean Martin celebrity roast of your CBD store with everyone here. So it'll be lots of fun. So
absolutely.
Well, congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
And I will see you guys next week.
Great. Looking forward to it, Chris. Thanks a lot.
All right. YourCBDStoreTucson.com. Find out about all 8 locations. Thanks to Governor Ducey and Congressman Schweikert for some good conversations today. Tomorrow we have U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs, Frank Antonori, Joe Higgins, Wendy from Chef Chic is Food Friday. It'll be quite a hoot. So Zach's coming up next on Tipping Point. Wake up.